Please be seated. What would you be missing if you didn't have the Bible? Would you know that God exists? Well, you could look outside and see the trees and the plants and the animals and the birds. You could see the amazing system in which the sun and the soil and the moisture feeds plants to produce food for animals to eat and sustains their life. You can see by all of this an incredible design and the incredible creator, evidence for God. In fact, you don't even have to go outside. You can simply look down at your own two hands, see your own fingers that can move, that can touch, that can grasp, that can work, that can even communicate. In fact, you don't even need to look at your hands. You can consider even your eyes and those organs that allow us to perceive the world all around us. All of this testimony to the fact that God exists. So we wouldn't necessarily need the Bible to know that God exists. What about right and wrong? The Bible certainly has a long list of commands in it, doesn't it? Perhaps that's especially what we need the Bible for. On the other hand, if you take a close look at the codes of law for various countries and cultures from around the world, you'll find that there's a lot of similar laws in them. That it's perhaps nearly universal not to murder, not to steal, not to commit adultery, not to lie. Those are all bad things in every culture. I've heard that even among cannibalistic societies, that even for them, it's wrong to murder their own kind. And so we don't necessarily need the Bible to know that there is a right and there is a wrong. So what especially would we be missing if we didn't have the Bible? Well, without the Bible, we wouldn't know that this amazing, all-wise, all-powerful, intelligent God is a God not only of justice, of right and wrong, but a God of love. That he showed his love for each and every one of us through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is the number one thing that the Bible teaches us, the way of salvation through faith in Christ. In the verse before our text for today, the Apostle Paul makes this clear to Timothy as he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. From infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Here Paul gives us the primary purpose of the Scriptures to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. But what else is the Bible good for? Well, today let us consider God's word recorded for us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Lord, these are your words, and therefore they are your truth. We ask that you'd increase our faith through them. Amen. So the Apostle Paul begins by reminding Timothy what the Scriptures are. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What does that even mean? Other translations say that the Scripture is God-breathed, or I've heard it explained this way, that it is God-spirited. So what does that mean? I think the Apostle Peter helps us in his second letter when he writes this: No prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were being carried along by the Holy Spirit. He tells us the way in which God brought his word to his people of old, that God, the Holy Spirit, told the prophets what they were to say. They spoke not their own words, but God's word that the Holy Spirit had given to them. The same is true concerning the Holy Scriptures, concerning the Bible. Those words there are not the words of men, but they are the words of God given by inspiration as God breathed into them by his Holy Spirit the very words that he wanted them to write. Not their words, but his words. And so what does that mean for us? Well, it means that God's word is true. That the Bible, the Scriptures are true, every bit of them, because they are given from God who is true. God who is holy. God who cannot lie. And so we can take every one of those words to the bank. We can trust those words and cling to them. But we're also reminded of whose words they are. They're the words of the same one who created that world around us, who created even us too, that all-powerful and all-wise, all-knowing being. He has given us words. Shouldn't we pay attention to those words? In the original languages, there is over 500,000 words recorded in the scriptures. That's quite incredible, isn't it? That God gave us so many words. Shouldn't we be interested to know what the wisest being in all the universe, the one who created us, what he wants to communicate to us through his word? We see today that God's word is useful for a number of things. It's profitable for doctrine. When we talk about doctrine, we talk about teachings, the teachings of God's word. Certainly God's word teaches us the way of salvation, that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ, but it teaches us so much more, doesn't it? It teaches specifically about who God is. It teaches us where our world came from, where we came from. It tells us about the fall of mankind. It tells us about conversion and faith and the work of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. It tells us about the means of grace. It tells us about the church. It tells us about the end times and what's going to happen on the last day. It shares with us wisdom for our life here and now, but also wisdom to carry with us through all eternity. There's so much that God wants to teach us, so many doctrines that he would have us know even beyond the way of salvation. And so he invites us to use his scripture for that purpose. But the Apostle Paul goes on to also write for reproof and for correction. Maybe we can put those two things together. We can think about reproof as kind of a negative, calling out that which is wrong, sin, and that which is false, error. And correction maybe as speaking what is true and what is right. Maybe we can think of an application of this. Early in the sermon, I mentioned how many of the law codes in the countries and cultures throughout the world are similar, and yet there are differences, aren't there? There are some countries that say that abortion is morally right, and others that say it's absolutely wrong. So which is it? Well, look to God's word, as he tells us in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, "Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God, God has made mankind." It tells us plainly that human life is precious. It tells us plainly the reason why is because all of us are made in the image of God. So it shows us not only what is true and what is right, but it also corrects error as well. There's many people in this world that want to think that the way of salvation has to be through doing what is good according to the world's standards. And that if you only try hard enough, well, then you can make yourself right before God. But the scriptures tell us plainly, whoever keeps the whole law but stumbles at one point has become guilty of breaking all of it. And all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It shows us that that way of salvation is impossible, that no one is able to earn their way to heaven. But it also shows us the truth. By grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It shows us what is right and what is true. And finally, the Apostle Paul writes that the scriptures is useful for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I wonder if this one especially is one that we overlook in our own lives. You know, we as Lutheran Christians want to focus so much on salvation that it's by God's grace through faith and not by works. I wonder if we diminish the importance of good works. God certainly desires us to do good works. No, those good works don't save us, and those good works do flow naturally from faith. God, the Holy Spirit, is at work in us even when we don't realize it, as the scriptures tell us in John 15 and Matthew 25. But he also wants to instruct us in good works. He wants to teach us what is right and what is good. Now, it's often been said that you don't need to teach a child what is wrong. You don't need to teach a child how to fight and how to hit and how to steal. They know those things by nature. God wants to teach us what is good. even beyond what the world could teach us concerning what is good. He wants to teach us things that we could never know without him revealing them to us. Think of one example is our gospel lesson that was read at my church this last week from Jesus' Sermon on the Plain in Luke chapter 6, where Jesus says this: love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. He tells us that our reward will be great, and he tells us that we're sons of the Most High because he is kind to the unthankful and evil, because he is merciful, because he has shown mercy to sinners like you and me. That's why we have a reward. That's why we are children of God. But he also wants to instruct us in how to live out our lives as his children to reflect the same love that he has showed to us. And it's so different in the way of the world. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. He shows us the love that he has shown for us, and he encourages us in this. Live out your lives in faith, doing good works as I have instructed you. So he encourages us to pay attention to his word, pay attention to his instruction, not to earn our way to heaven, but that we might reflect the love that he has shown us in our own lives, to live as his children, children who have been bought by the blood of Christ. So what is the Bible good for? Certainly, we can know a lot of things even without the Bible. We can know that God exists. We can know to some degree right and wrong. But the Bible tells us so much more. It tells us the most important thing, doesn't it? It tells us the way of salvation. God is a God of love who has shown his love for sinners like you and me through his son, Jesus Christ. But don't stop there. Remember that the Bible is also useful for doctrine, for teaching. It shows us so many truths concerning God, concerning our world, concerning ourselves, concerning faith, and so much more. It's useful for rebuking and correcting. It's useful for training in righteousness. May we continue to use God's word in all of those ways, understanding that it's the word of God who has shown his love for us in Christ as he teaches us further to live as his dear children who have been bought by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Let us arise for prayer. Almighty God, in your great wisdom and mercy, you have given us your word. Forgive our sins for not making full use of it or considering parts of it at times as unimportant. Use your word to remind us of your forgiveness and love for us in Christ. Help us to see the great purposes for which you have given us your word, to take it seriously, and to put your word into practice. Amen. Thank you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.